Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local wrestling scene in and around Georgia, as well as interviews with newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Welcome to an exciting week on Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com. Tonight's guest is a man that most of the Georgia wrestling scene has heard a lot about lately, but not because of what's been going on in the ring. We'll get into that a little bit later, but his name is Brian Blaze. And appropriately enough, tonight's guest co-host is the guy who told me about the whole situation with Brian Blaze just a couple months ago, and that is Marvelous Marco Polo. How are you tonight?
Doing good.
I also saw you in action quite a bit over the weekend at APW's Nightmare on Cherry Street on Friday and then NWA Atlanta on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then I didn't see you after that show. Was everything all right?
we'll talk about that off air.
Okay.
As far as that goes.
Those are two of the big Halloween time shows that happen every year, and of course WWE's Hell in a Cell was last night. You can read Larry Goodman's review of Anarchy's Fright Night at gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com. But Halloween is actually this Friday, but all of the big Halloween shows seem to have already happened. Are there, do you know of any others that I'm going to be leaving out?
We got PCW on Saturday. That's about the
We're All Saints Day, they're calling it.
Yeah. But and that's Saturday, so I guess we're
right.
Doing it as a Halloween show, but, you know, it's November 1st.
Yeah. So, of course, that'll be, like I said, Brian Blaze's first match back. I don't know much about the guy he's wrestling, but I assume you know something about him.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about how this match came about?
I wasn't there at the last show, so I can't really, like, state all the details, but I can put Brian Kane over, because I helped train that guy. And he's been doing really good stuff. He's been getting good reviews from everybody who's seen him. He was trained originally by Killer Kowalski's camp. And then he took some time off and then came up to PCW, where, you know, we got our first little hands on him, and then seeing what he can do and talk to him about psychology and things like that. And then bam, he's back in the game. So, and as far as PCW, he's on the roll right now. He's been getting a good push. He's been hooked up with Quasi and his faction Mame over there. So yeah, he's geared and ready to go. It should be a good match between him and Brian Blaze.
Right. Who you've been working with since his return, right? You're getting him back in ring shape and everything?
Yeah. So the PCW camp, we have the training pretty much Monday through Thursday. I open up the ring for all comers, and Brian Blaze has been coming back in there getting his ring legs back. Jeter's been coming through. We got a lot of good guys, and then we have some new people that should be appearing or making their debuts pretty soon. One you may already know, she was over at NWA Atlanta. That was Priscilla Kelly. So, and she's done some MCW stuff too. So she should be making her debut in PCW pretty soon. If not this Saturday, probably within the next couple shows.
All right. Well, yeah, I've seen her at Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. Not wrestling, but she has been part of the shows.
Yeah.
Well, what? Anything else going on in your world, wrestling-wise or otherwise, that you want to talk about before we...
Not really. I mean, I've been going up to Ring of Honor and did a couple of their camps. I'll probably do the next one in January. That's my main goal, is to get better and get better matches and get to, you know, something that makes this make sense as far as wrestling goes. I mean, it's cool to have a hobby. And I told someone once, it's like, arguing about a payout is one thing, but I'd much rather, you know, negotiate over some type of contract at some point. You know, I'm getting up there in age. I'm almost 40, so I'd much rather do, like, some type of TV run before I hang my boots up. So that's my focus.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah, so back to Brian Blaze. You can listen to, actually, he was on the To Be Determined show on Wednesday, and I listened to that earlier today just to see what all they talked about there. But you can listen to that to get some background on his situation, as well as the report that was on Georgia Wrestling History, I guess, about three or four weeks ago now.
Yeah.
But he's missed out on a lot, including Sacred Ground, but he returned to PCW, not in action, but was part of the last show a couple weeks ago, or I guess about a week and a half ago now. But, so I ran into you, and I noticed I'd seen Jeter doing a lot of stuff, and usually wherever you saw Jeter, you saw Brian Blaze. But for a while, there was no Brian Blaze, so I asked you what was going on, and you told me a little bit, and then, of course, more details came out more recently. But
just straight fucked up situation, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean,
I can curse on the show, right?
Of course. Yeah, so how many times did he and Jeter win the tag team season trophy? Twice, I believe, right?
Was it twice?
At least once out at
at least once
at Sacred Ground, and then
they had their rubber matches with the Bullets. I think the Bullets won three, and Big F and Dale won once. I think they hit theirs last year. I'm not sure. We'll ask Brian when he gets on. I don't want
to. Yeah. Well, he's had success mostly in tag team wrestling. He's a former Peach State tag team champion, I believe. He was a PWR tag champion. You, of course, were aligned with him and Jeter up there for a while. I guess have you been opponents as well, or I'm sure you've faced each other in?
Yeah, we faced each other here and there, but never any, like, real feuds between me and him. I think they've teamed the black guys more together than setting us apart.
Maybe the black guys just get together on their own.
Yeah, but it's mostly like most of the promotions we went to, they automatically just put us together.
Okay.
So when we went to PWR, it was just like, oh, Brian's here. Okay, well, you and Marco are our team. Okay, so I think I had one solid match with Brian in PCW when I turned face, and that was like the only time that we ever locked up. Other than that, we even had like random teamings at PCW a couple of times. We just teamed up together for no reason. So, yeah. Same black guys in the locker room. So, oh, you're a tag team. Go.
All right. Well, he'll be calling in about 5 minutes. Larry Goodman might also be joining us around 7:30 or so, but that is not certain. Either way, I'm sure we will have plenty to talk about with Brian.
Yeah.
Did you watch Hell in a Cell last night?
No, I missed it. I went out and watched Walking Dead, though. If you want to talk about Walking Dead, that was awesome.
I just started watching the fifth season on Netflix, so I am not caught up on it.
Yeah. Pretty good show. How was Hell in a Cell? I didn't see it.
I enjoyed it for the most part. I've seen some people posting that they thought it wasn't a great show, but I thought it was interesting that the John Cena Randy Orton quote unquote main event happened about an hour in, and then the actual main event was the Dean Ambrose Seth Rollins match in the inside the cage or the cell.
Yeah, as it should have been, right?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. So that was the cage match. I was like, look, those two guys are pretty good workers. Damn good workers, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Ambrose started it by climbing to the top of the cage before the bell even rang. And the cage looked bigger this year. I think I read somewhere that they had changed it. It looked like it was a good bit taller. Then Joey Mercury and Jamie Noble, who I love still, they're kind of like the stooges for the Authority. And they climbed up there to try to get him down, and he finally got in the ring, and the match started. And, yeah, it was a great match. There was a lot of weapons and stuff involved, and Dean Ambrose pulled out a couple of cinder blocks and was about to do something to Seth Rollins with him when Bray Wyatt arrived. And I guess if you watch Raw tonight, you'll find out what his intentions are.
Okay, cool. Got it.
I still think Damian Mizdow is one of the highlights of anything going on in WWE right now.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody about comedy. They don't have enough comedy in wrestling earlier. So, I think, like, making people laugh is really, like, one of the best forms of entertainment. And if you can have somebody that can, like, perform in a serious and then throw in some comedy in there, you have my attention.
Yeah, well, hopefully it'll lead to something better for him, because it seemed like this gimmick that he has where he's just playing all these different characters was kind of derailing him. He had the Money in the Bank briefcase, and he was a tag champ, I think, before that, or maybe after that.
Cody Rhodes was tag champ at one time.
And then all of a sudden, all of that went away, and who's to say why that happened, but hopefully this is going to turn into something for him. I mean, I could see it ending kind of like Ted DiBiase and Virgil, but hopefully his career will be a little better than Virgil's was.
Yeah. Yeah. So what did he do last night? Did he do anything Hell in a Cell? Did he have any matches or anything?
He was doing the stunt double thing for The Miz. The Miz wrestled Sheamus, who retained the U.S. title. But yeah, he was mimicking all of the Miz's moves outside the ring and just doing the same comedy thing he's been doing.
Okay.
Obviously didn't help the Miz in any way, but
yeah.
Provided some entertainment at least.
Yeah. And the Miz is just one of those guys. I mean, him alone, he should be good. Some reason he has like his up and down moments as far as like getting over with for a heel or face.
Yeah, I think he's much better heel, but even then it's hit or miss. Sometimes he's a great heel and sometimes he's just kind of a filling time between the bigger matches type of heel.
Yeah. Alright, so let me see, there's more coming on. I'm running out of stuff to talk about.
Well, we only got a couple minutes until we talk to Brian Blaze.
Alright, so where are you going to be this weekend as far as wrestling goes?
I don't know if I'm going to catch any wrestling. I don't know what I'm doing for Halloween yet, but I know Saturday night is the Monster Bash down at Atlanta Zombie Apocalypse, which used to be at the drive-in and used to include Monstrosity Championship Wrestling for the past 2 or 3 years, but this year it is kind of a scaled-down version. Obviously a different location. Still looks like a fun event, so I'm going to check that out on Saturday. What else is going on wrestling-wise? Like I said, all the big shows took place this past weekend.
Yeah.
So I think Pete State's this weekend, so... Brian Blaze will tell us his plans of possibly returning there.
Yeah, let's see. You got Peach State, you got Platinum PCW, you got Syndicate Pro Wrestling is making their return again out in Columbus. And I think that's all I know for now.
Yeah, APW, of course, is on Friday, but they run every Friday. And there's a few shows. We'll run all that down before we go off the air.
All right. So what did you think of the shows this past week? What did you think? You stayed for the whole show. So what did you think of Friday night's big show and Saturday night's show?
Nightmare on Cherry Street. It was my first time at APW. And I love the setup there. They've got a great little entrance ramp and screen and everything. I guess that venue is not used for anything else. It didn't appear as if it is, but I enjoyed the show for the most part. The last two matches definitely were interesting. It's been a while since I've been to a show where I saw kids crying and fights almost breaking out. It was almost like the Peach State crowds, you know, have a reputation. Reminded me of that a lot. But who was it? The Fireman was defending his North Georgia championship against a mystery opponent chosen by Jeremy Vane. Turned out to be Kevin Blue. The Fireman got the pin, but he had his feet on the ropes, and Jeremy Vane came out and restarted the match. Kevin Blue rolled him up, the Fireman, to win the title. Then after that, I'm not sure how much of this you saw because your match was earlier in the night, so you were in the back, but the Fireman attacked Jeremy Vane, and I guess Jeremy Vane has had some back problems in the past, and he kind of suplexed him in such a way that his back landed across the guardrail, and Jeremy Vane ended up in the audience, had to be stretchered out, and that's the point where I saw there were a lot of kids sitting around where I was, so they were crying, and it was pretty chaotic, and it was right after intermission. So it was basically like another intermission happened. And then, of course, the Flaming Tables match between Strychnine and CB Suave. Surprisingly, CB Suave got the win on that. Strychnine kind of limped out. He went through a flaming table, which he's probably done that before just for fun, I would imagine. But didn't look like he had
that baby boy. It wasn't flammable.
What's that?
I said I didn't know baby oil wasn't flammable. See, he's left.
He must have used a different kind of water-based, water-based lubricant of some sort.
Yeah.
NWA Atlanta was. Well, I think we got Brian Blaze joining us now, so we'll get to that later.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the show, Brian Blaze.
How you doing, Jonathan? How you doing today?
All
Brian!
Right. Been a while.
What's going on, Polo? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, brother?
Not much, man, not much.
It's been a while since I've seen you or talked to you, but I'm glad to have you back on the show.
Yes, sir.
As I was saying earlier, you've kind of gone over the whole story on the To Be Determined show last week, so we don't have to get too much into where you've been and why. But I was trying to remember, actually, when was your last match and where before everything went down that, you know, when you went to jail?
It actually was that night. It was April 22nd. We did the show at the Actors Express.
Right.
The Platinum Olympics, that's what we called it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, it was a fatal four-way tag match, me and Jeter, Solid Cross, and, yeah, Bullets, Solid Cross. You was in that match too, wasn't you, Paul?
Yeah, I was in that match. Yeah, me teamed up with,
Valley.
Devon Valley, Valley for some reason. I don't know why.
I think the reason behind that was because Salomon Sermon and Rick Michaels, was, I think they were supposed to be the fourth team, and they dropped out at the last second.
Yeah.
But it worked. But, yeah, that was my last match. And I believe later on that night I went to jail. But it's all past now.
Yeah. What all did you have going on? You know, I know you were tag champion at Peach State. And I think you were wrestling a few other places aside from PCW. So where did that leave things everywhere? Did you have any angles or rivalries that kind of just ended or that you're probably going to pick back up now? Or what was going on in all the promotions?
No, I think we had just lost the tag titles at Peach State. I don't quite remember who they was on, but...
None of the Lions or something, Young Lions.
Yeah,
no. When we lost them, it was
the Exotic
Ones. We lost them to Tommy Too Much, and I can't remember the other one. But yeah, that who it was. But no, I think only storylines that got messed up really was that our angles was the one in PCW, the tag team season. I think that's the only thing that mixed up.
Yeah. Oh, that was another question we had. How many times did y'all win it?
We won twice.
Twice, okay.
Yeah, the first year, the Bullets beat Mason and Scott Steele. Year two, they beat me and Jeter. Year three, me and Jeter beat them. And last year, we beat them again.
Okay, got it.
And this year, they won. Yes. Well, it wasn't here one then. The tag team season started. We started at the second round, too?
You know, it started at the first one.
It did? Yeah, it did. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was coming to sort of show that a fan then.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, yeah.
So you returned to PCW, I guess, like a week after you got out. But you didn't wrestle. So what happened? You came out, and then how did this match this Saturday come about?
Well, it pretty much came about with people running their mouth. Brian Kane and Mr. Mandisco, of course, in the ring, you know, just saying that he was or is the best Brian in wrestling. I mean, I mean, considering it, Brian's in wrestling. I had to disagree with that. I mean, honestly, I was only there to, you know, say thank you to the fans, you know, to my fellow wrestlers at PCW that was there for support. But, you know, when you open your mouth, say you're better than somebody, and you got to put your money where your mouth is. You got to prove that. So I guess when you get in there Saturday, he's going to have a chance to prove he ain't gonna have a chance to prove that he's the better Brian. He's gonna have a chance to prove that he's a better Brian than me.
Yeah. Have you got a chance to see any of Brian Kane's stuff in the ring or any stuff online?
I got a chance to listen to his stuff. I didn't get a chance to see anything. From what I understand, he's not that half bad. He's good. He's a good worker.
Yeah, it's pretty good work.
Yeah, I mean, but exactly, he's even pretty good.
Even for as fat as he is, he can still fly, too, so watch out for that.
Okay. I appreciate it.
Yeah. He can hit a moonsault from any rope.
That's what he finished off Supernatural with Saturday, right?
Yeah.
In the past show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess he's pretty agile with his size. I mean, from listening to the match, it sounded like everything he was doing out there was pretty brutal. He powerbombed Supernatural on the apron, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Ouch.
Yeah.
Apron spots. Yeah, fucking crazy. And that that ring just got reinforced too with steel on the apron too to keep those fucking boards in there. So yeah, fuck that. Fuck those apron bumps. I don't have that shit.
Right. No, can't do that.
Yeah. So you ready to get in the ring? You feel like your ring ready yet?
I can't say that I am or I'm not. I mean, you've been there with me at training, you know, trying to get my win back, and I guess I will know. I want to say, I don't feel rushed. I feel like it's something that Platinum always told us about training or about wrestling is, you know, once you stop doing it for a second, don't just like, you know, jump straight back into it. Ease yourself into it and, you know, go from there. And, I've been sitting on the sideline for 5 months, and, like, when I got out, I know the first thing I was going to want to do was to get in the ring. Everything was telling, like, man, get back in there and wrestle. It was so hard for me just to be like, no, I ain't going to wrestle. Just, like, to tell them, no, I don't want to wrestle, or I don't want to wrestle at this show. I went to a couple of shows this past weekend, I don't want to wrestle. But that was the hard part. Now, the easiest part is going to be getting back in there, you know, getting back in there, buffing around, you know, getting back into ring shape, getting that win back.
Yeah.
And so, Saturday show was like, the proof of my training, whatnot.
Yeah.
Am I ready, or do I need to, you know, train some more, train harder?
Yeah. Well, the ring's open tomorrow. Let's get in there.
Right.
And get some last chance workouts in there.
That's part of my plan. Part of my plan.
So, Brian, were you able to do any kind of working out or anything to stay in shape over the past 5 months?
Push-ups, squats, you know, sit-ups, you know, that's about it.
That was another question. So from where you were, did they give you shit about working out or doing anything? Because I remember when Jagged Edge was going through all his shit, he said that he wasn't allowed to do any type of working out.
No. Like, they give you a handbook, and basically a handbook says once you're in your room, you can do whatever you want. And, like, they're not going to stop you. I mean, well, you can't do whatever you want, because I got in trouble for writing on the walls almost. And but as far as, like, working out or, you know, what you do with yourself in your room, they're not going to stop you. They will stop you if you, like, try to work out, like, outside in an open area. Where you sit down and eat or whatnot, they try to stop you there. But outside of that, it was just, man, as long as you're in my room, they wasn't going to bother you.
Cool.
How has it felt to get back in the ring and start training again? Has it felt like you've been away for 5 months, or have you kind of just felt falling back right into the groove?
It actually felt like not going to training for like a 2 weeks or something. That's what it really felt like, because I thought it was like, you know, taking the first couple of bumps was going to be like my first week of training again, and it wasn't. And sometimes I forget how long I've been training, because, like, I was constantly training, like, even while I was wrestling, when we was doing PCW every week, I was still training, coming to training 2 or 3 days a week outside of what we was doing in wrestling. And then when we moved out to Porterdale, you know, I still go out there and help, you know, the wrestlers that's coming up, or, you know, other wrestlers out there, you know, me and Polo, just, you know, just be rolling around and whatnot. So I guess, you know, that experience, you know, being in the ring so much, it didn't take much out of me. I think only real thing was just getting my win back.
Yeah. How's it feel walking around with that new weight? You dropped, like, what, 30 pounds?
Yeah, somewhere around there. I'm still getting used to it. I was looking at myself yesterday. I was like, dang, this shirt looks big as hell.
It's like a crackhead.
Yeah. Got to change shirts out. You got to change clothes, I guess. Get some new stuff. I mean, I guess the weight loss is a good thing, too. I mean, when I get my win back, I'll probably get a little bit further than I was when I was in. well, when I was wrestling, so.
Cool.
Have you had a chance to talk to Peach State or anywhere else about making your return at other promotions yet?
I've been in talks since, I want to say last Thursday, with a couple of promotions, talking about bringing me back in and bringing me out to some places for the first time. So there's that. I was telling on the Beyond show, one of my main goals right now is get more exposure, get out there. So the more shows that wants me are willing to use me and Jeter. You know, I'm looking forward to going out there and show what we can do. Prove our stuff, get us out there. And I know for sure I'm going to be back in two places. I don't want to say two places right now, but two promotions bring me in. One of them bring me back. And within, I believe, next month, I believe. So that's good.
All right, cool. Why you don't want to say?
Huh?
I said, why you don't want to say?
Because you know how this stuff goes, man. Sometimes some stuff be a surprise, sometimes it don't. And then sometimes you just got to wait. You know, everything is not set in stone just yet, so I don't want to jump the gun and be like, hey, I'm going to be here then. And then it's like, no, you're not going to be here then. You're going to be here then. So, you know, no one jump the gun and just like get everybody the hopes up. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be there. Wait.
Yeah. Okay. Just call out my name, John. Which one?
I think we were both trying to ask a question at the same time a minute ago, so I was going to ask you what you were going to say.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I was probably going to fuck with Brian about something.
Brian, you mentioned in the Beyond Ringside interview that you have wrestled Logan Creed before.
Yeah.
When and where did that happen?
I wrestled Creed at SPW. Was it SPW or was it down in Fort Valley? I believe it was SPW. Me and De La Vega tagged against him and somebody else in the tag team match.
Is that the show in Columbus?
Yeah, that show down there in Columbus.
Okay.
This was, I wouldn't say it was sometime last summer.
Yeah, I worked Logan.
What'd you say?
I said I worked Logan before.
Yeah, Logan's a pretty good guy. He's a pretty good worker.
Yeah.
Well, Jeter's been working him everywhere, it seems like, lately. So just wondering if your paths might cross again just because of your association with Jeter.
That's a possibility. I mean, I don't know if he has a tag partner per se. But,
sometimes he teams with Kidman. That's about the only person I know that he's teamed with consecutively.
Uh-huh. No. Dang, that's two big guys. That's two real big guys right there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if Logan and Judy got something good going, I don't want to get in there, you know, just interrupt what they got going. You know, I know Judy likes working big guys like Logan because, you know, Logan's one of the guys that's going to go and get in there and go.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a plus for Judy. So
that's a fun match with Logan.
Would say?
I said I've had some fun matches with Logan. He's left me going home with scars and aches and bruises. He did this fucking fall away slam. Oh my God.
Right.
In fact, it hurts just thinking about that shit. So, yeah.
Right. Now, I don't remember that. I don't remember our match that was being that brutal, but he is a good guy to work.
Yeah. We did it out in Columbus at the SPW place. And, man, that ring, I can tell you, that's a great place to work, but that ring, I think, just took off at least 3 years off my career, just taking off one bump. It just felt like I just bumped on concrete and somebody threw a pillow over it. That's it.
Yeah, that I felt the same way about, what is it, Southern Fried's ring?
Yeah, Southern Fried's ring. Oh, man, the old PWR ring, that boxing ring that we used to wrestle in.
No. Yeah, that PWR ring was something else.
Remember, so, Octa, if you're listening, man, these are people you could talk to. I'm plugging you. Get some business from Ox. Get a good ring. Yeah.
Right. PWR. That was good.
Okay. Yeah, come and go. The fraternity, right? It was awesome, right?
What's that?
I said the fraternity was awesome, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that good match. What was it? What match was that? We had the no holds barred 6-man tag match.
Oh yeah, the street fight where we broke the ring. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, it wasn't no we in that. That was Jeter.
Yeah.
That was an impromptu match. It was one of the better matches we had out there.
Yeah, that was a great match.
Yeah.
And if I don't want to say the referee's name, but the ref that couldn't count, man, that was he's destroyed. I don't know how many matches I had out there. I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus. But, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was that ref. He was awesome. And when I say awesome, I mean awful. But you know,
crazy.
Just lost man. Count right at the. Just couldn't count past 7. Right. Oh man. Oh shit. So, Brian, tell us some jail stories, man. I know you got some crime stories to tell us, man. Tell us about people who was in there with you.
I really ain't got no good jail stories. It was jail, man. I tell you about the time I almost got thrown in a hole. They put me in a room by myself. They put me in a room by myself. I was in there 5 months. I think I had 6 roommates, pretty much a different roommate almost every month, just about.
Right.
You know, because, like, people would come in and go or whatnot. And so, like, the one time I was in there by myself for, like, a month, and the walls are all, of course, they all blank or whatnot. And they gave us these little blue soaps, and I was just trying to keep myself busy or whatnot, and I was working out, pushing up and whatnot. And I was, I drew, like, a little stick figure, man, on the wall, like, just work on strikes and chops or whatnot.
He was talking to about Wilson and shit?
No, I wasn't. I was just chopping it pretty much. Just slapping the wall and whatnot. And I had this one roommate come in. He did some boxing. And so he asked him, like, to fill it out so he can, you know, practice with it. And so I did. I filled it out or whatnot. And then, like, a week later, that dude got taken to the hole. And so, being an artist, I decided to, I guess, fill up the rest of the wall. And so I proceeded to draw, like, what's the name of that dragon on Dragon Ball Z? Like, Omega Shenron, a really long dragon. I threw that across, like, the whole wall in this ridiculous blue soap. And then I started to fill it out and add a little other details to it. And, like, every night they do head count just to come see who's in the room and are they in there. And so, like, this was on the wall for at least about a month and a half before anybody honestly said something. And the dude that seen it, he looked and he bypassed it and backtracked in and was like, okay, I don't know who did this because I had got a new roommate by then. I don't know who did this, but y'all got to erase this. Because if the sheriff come in, he's going to take both of y'all ass to the hole. And I just don't want this headache because then they're going to try to write us up because we didn't see this or whatnot. Come on, man. This is racist. So I just sat down and just laughed at the dude face and like, hey, man, I did it. I'm racist. You ain't got to worry about nothing. But it was, that blue soap, man, I wrote on the whole room. I wrote on the ceiling and everything.
Damn it. Miss Portum. But that's a great jail story, Brian. Got in trouble for writing on the wall. Could have had that shit in high school, man. Goddamn.
No. There was nothing memorable about jail, man. I mean, everybody that puts on and talk about it like it was something spectacular is stupid. It was real, like the whole situation of me being in there was just stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like nothing I really was trying to have a memory about that place.
Yeah. And even being in the trial, man, I mean, that trial was just fucking...
Yeah, you were there. You heard how ridiculous that was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
throw this up against the wall and see if it sticks. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's essentially what they were trying to do. Did y'all get a chance to talk about the pay-per-view last night? Because I still don't know what happened.
John seen it. I didn't see it. I was out fucking around somewhere. John saw it, so he can tell you about it. So who won the cage match, John?
John Cena won the one against Randy Orton. So I guess at some point that became a number one contenders match. So he faces Brock Lesnar. I don't think they've said when or where, but at some point in the near future, I assume before the end of the year, possibly. Maybe Survivor Series, I don't know. The other one, Bray Wyatt interrupted. And so Seth Rollins pinned Dean Ambrose.
Really?
Yeah, the lights went out right when Dean Ambrose was about to do something. I think he's going to curb stomp Rollins into some cinder blocks or something, and the lights went out, and then when they came back on, there was a lantern in the ring, and it was kind of like when R2-D2 projects Obi-Wan Kenobi, and it's like a hologram. Mm-hmm. There was this weird smoke and light thing going on, and then
right.
Bray Wyatt somehow was in the cage and attacked Dean Ambrose, so Seth Rollins got the pin real quick and then got out of the ring before you could see what Wyatt's intentions were, and then it went off the air, so we don't really know why he did that or anything yet.
Okay, that's different. Well, the dynamic of Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose, that
the promo should
good.
Be awesome. Yeah,
yeah. Two loose cannons.
They should get some good matches out of it, especially if they don't rush everything. But you know,
yeah,
they could muddy that up. I don't understand this whole Brock is champ thing though. Like,
I missed out on a lot.
Yeah, I missed out all of that, but I heard about it. And I'm like, it's kind of stupid because. I guess they don't push it no more, but you know, back in the old days, you know, being the champ, whether it's heavyweight champ, tag team, or any of the other titles, you got to defend your belt like within 30 days, every 30 days, or you forfeit. And
yeah.
Like you got Brock as a champ, and he's only going to do so many dates before he's going to stop showing up. That was kind of a stupid move there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they haven't even mentioned that 30-day rule, of course. So
yeah, they haven't mentioned that since Hulk Hogan in a while.
No, it would still come up.
It'll come up with they do it like with the minor titles every now and then, like the Intercontinental title or the U.S. title. They be quick to say it. Like I think the last person that actually did that too was Ziggler.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because he got hurt. Yeah.
Matter of fact, they did that with him when he had the World Heavyweight title.
Yeah. Yeah, when he got the concussion that made him. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, dang, he got caught both of them last time because they did that with him in the Intercontinental title, too. Or was that...
I think that was the World.
I think that may have been Kofi, I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, so were you out in time for when Raw was here in Atlanta? Did you get to go to that?
No, that was actually the week before I got out.
Okay.
I watched it though. It was It was a better show than what everybody said it was. It was, we had it on record. I pretty much liked it. They had that, who was on, it was that, now that wasn't the show where Randy did that crazy powerbomb RKO to Ziggler, was it?
Yeah, I think that was the,
Yeah.
That was the Atlanta show?
Yeah, that was the Atlanta show. The RKO out of nowhere.
They had some good matches. And then, of course, the fans got to see Cena and Ambrose work twice. And the thing that impressed me about the show, honestly, was actually the crowd. Because, like, I've been in the Raw a couple of times here, and, like, the crowd, like, the Atlanta crowd to me just seemed, like, kind of boring, or, like, they just phoning it in or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, when the chick, what's her name, Lana? The chick with, Russo.
With Russo?
When she mentioned the Braves, they started doing the whole Braves chop chant and whatnot. I'm like, y'all should have been doing that. They should be more active in as far as crowds go. But they was actually into it. It seemed like they was louder than that they ever been, even when I've been there.
Yeah.
It had a lot of hype behind it.
Yeah. I'm kind of mad I missed it now. I went to one Raw where we got to, I don't know if I should be saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. We were seat fillers, so we got just moved around. And, you know, we got to be, like right in the line of sight. So I had to be on TV, like, right in front of the Shield as they were walking around. So that wasn't
the same one where Sheamus, Orton, and I forget who the other dude came out the crowd to attack the Shield. That wasn't the same. Okay.
No. I don't think that was a Raw. I think that was a SmackDown, actually. Yeah.
No, that was a Raw.
No, when we were there,
I was about
that. When I went, it was a SmackDown.
Somebody had gotten in Sheamus' way. And, like, Sheamus just, like, completely jumped over the dude. That security had to tackle him.
Awesome.
That was
haven't seen that in a while.
No.
Not in a while. Well, that's the WCW days, actually.
Because you know nobody come out the crowd no more. I mean,
yeah.
Reigns
do,
but he's not there.
Yeah.
And I guess, I mean, at the time they did it. It was before the Shield buried. It ain't buried in WrestleMania. It was before that Shield first match at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And they faced it. Orton, Sheamus, and was it Big Show at WrestleMania?
I think so.
That sounds right.
Yeah, it was
a big show. And, like, the Shield was in the ring cutting a promo, and then they came out the crowd and attacked the Shield. And, like, Sheamus came out, like, the third aisle over there, and some dude just...
That wasn't a WrestleMania.
Huh?
That wasn't WrestleMania, was it? That was a...
No, they had that match at WrestleMania.
WrestleMania? Then the Shield, right? This most recent one. Then they wrestled Kane and New Age Outlaws, not the match this past WrestleMania.
No, that was last WrestleMania where they buried them.
Yeah,
I thought they was gonna give them a good match.
Yeah. And they just beat the fuck out of them, just straight squash match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that match wasn't even 5 minutes.
We've got a caller
from
601 area code. Maybe he's got a question for Brian Blaze. You're on Georgia Wrestling Now. Who's this?
Brian. Glad to have you back.
Come on. What's going on, Jagged? How you doing, man?
Nothing much. Brian, I want to just say I'm happy you're back. Situation, it is what it is. It's over with. Brian
right.
Blaze is back. The real Brian. The big effing deal, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Back, Georgia wrestling scene.
Yeah.
Jagged-ish.
He called me the good Brian. Now, Saturday, he was calling Brian Kane the real Brian.
Uh-oh.
Jagged-ish.
That's what I want to talk about. See, this Saturday, PCW, Portadale, Main Event Arena, you get to see the real Brian Blaze in action, the only Brian that's true to Georgia wrestling. Take on the wannabe Brian Kane, with Quasiman Disco down in Portadale, Georgia. Now, that's what we should be talking about. We shouldn't be talking about WrestleManias. Who cares about what they do there? We're talking about Brian Blaze coming back to Georgia Wrestling and making a splash, him and Jeter tagging together, big effing deal, down in Anarchy Championship Wrestling. We're talking real wrestling. We're talking Georgia wrestling. We're talking to Brian Blaze.
Well, we covered all that over the past 45 minutes.
Well, I wasn't on the phone for the past 45 minutes, Jonathan Williams, and I told you before the rules haven't changed. Until I want you to say something, I'll snatch you by your neck and squeeze it out. So now let's just talk about Brian Blaze against Brian Kane. Better yet, how about we talk about Fright Night at Anarchy Championship Wrestling and how the Elite beat Team Anarchy all the way around the cage all night long.
And don't forget the Texas Bull Rope match coming up.
Oh, yeah, Bobby Moore. No. Bobby Moore, main event arena down in Portadale, Georgia. I finally get the fans in Portadale finally get what they've been looking for. Bobby Moore's been running and hiding behind Marco Polo. He's even Marco Polo's running mate for the president of Portadale. Finally, the Jagged Edge gets his hands on Bobby Moore, Texas Bull Rope match. So I'm trying to figure out if I want to hog time, if I just want to knock him out. But it's going to be Saturday night, Brian Blaze against Brian Kane, the Jagged Edge, and Bobby Moore in the Texas Bull Rope match. You got to be there, Jonathan Williams. You got to be there. I just might hit you with the bull.
Hit him with the bull. That's not a very good reason for me to be there.
The best reason for you to be there, Jonathan Williams. That's the best, Williams. It's been over a year. It's been over a year since I seen you. I laid eyes on you. So, Jonathan Williams, you need to be there so you can have something to talk about next week. Talk about Brian Blaze destroying Brian Kane. You can talk about the Jagged Edge, hog tying Bobby Moore.
All right. Well, we got another caller from a 404 number. You're on the air. 483 number.
Just get that number all the way up.
Not going to do that. I'm sorry.
This is the other half of BFD.
That's right.
Cheater!
How y'all doing tonight, gentlemen?
What's up, bro?
Good, man. What's going on with you?
Nothing much. Just listening to all this malarkey on this phone.
Right.
Jagged Edge over there bumping his gums about what the Elite done to anybody. Last time I checked, he got squashed with a 400 splash from the top rope. And then shoulders pinned to the mat.
But what you forgot, Jeter, what you forgot, that everything Team Anarchy handed out to the Elite, we got back up. We got back up. See, we're not done with you. We're not done with you. We took everything you got, and we got back up. We took everything you guys had, elbow splash from the top rope, 400-pound splash from the top rope. I got thrown into the cage by Michael Judas, the monster Michael Judas. But you know what the Jagged Edge and Seven and Berg did for Jeff G. Bailey? We got back up. And see, that's what you didn't think we were going to do. You thought that was the end of the Elite. But we got back up. And see, that's the problem. You didn't kill us. You didn't kill us. My daddy told me a long time ago, all that don't kill you make you stronger. So that means it's trouble for Big Jeter, Michael Judas, and Azriel, and Anarchy Wrestling, and that old low-down Sean Tempers that come out of the crowd, that come out of the gutters, that grab the brains of the operation, Jeff G. Bailey, when he thought we were locked in the cage and down. It just got worse for you guys. It didn't get better. It just got worse. Do you truly understand? Celebrate for now. You won the battle, but you ain't won the war. We just like ISIS. We just recruit. We recoup. We get stronger. We come back better than what we were before. So if we took everything that you had and we got back up, what do you have left?
Well, I'm going to tell you like this here, brother. You may have taken it. You may have gotten back up. But at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, you need weapons. I don't. I am a walking weapon. So you want war? Boy, I tell you, strap your boots up and get ready. See, Anarchy has never seen what you can do. They've only had a skosh. And I invite you to be the first one to find out personally why they call me wrestling's deadliest weapon.
GD, it don't matter if it's Anarchy Wrestling. It don't matter if it's PCW. It don't matter if it's in the back streets of downtown Atlanta. We can entertain the homeless folk. We can go all night long. I'm built that way. I'm built that way. It ain't a whole lot talking about me. I'm built that way. So anytime you ready, Jeter. No offense, Brian Blaze. No offense. Anytime he's ready, you go ahead and you feed him up good. You get him some rest, and you send him old Jagged's way.
Well, let's put it like this. The way I understand it, you got a bull rope match with Bobby Moore, right? You're going to settle your problems with him. Then after that, it looks like your schedule's free. I know my schedule's free. So since you said we can do it at Anarchy, we can do it at PCW, how about this? We do it at both of them, every other set, and I will hit you hard as, just as hard as you hit me. The harder you hit me, the harder I hit you, and we'll see who's standing when the smoke clears.
That sounds like a challenge to me.
Challenge! Oh, I like a challenge. John Spoon, you know I'm good for this. The last time you had somebody on here claiming to be the monster of Georgia, I came on here, I came to your show, and I beat the living tar out of the boy. Every time they put a monster in front of me, I beat the tar out of them. So it don't matter how you do it. So, Jagged, anytime you think you're ready. Matter of fact, ain't no think you're ready. You say you're ready. You want to be ready. You finish your business with Bobby Moore. And please believe me, you can meet me in the middle of my ring in PCW, or we can take it up to Anarchy. Either way it go, it's going down, fellas. As I call to say, Brian Blaze, welcome home.
Yes, sir. Thank you, man.
I'm just getting some popcorn ready. Y'all done? Damn. Damn. Jagged Edge, you still on?
Sound like he's gone.
Damn. That was great.
Yeah, I think they're both gone. Anyway, well, we're about out of time.
Welcome home, Brian.
Yeah, welcome back. Thanks. I'm very, very glad to hear that you're back.
Oh, yeah, that's what I want you to say, man. Tell us why you chose PCW for your first match back.
Why I chose PCW for my first match? I said it again. I feel we're a family at PCW, and all the support, most of the support I get from the wrestling community was from my PCW family. Those are the ones that was keeping up with me, seeing how I was doing, you know, if I need anything or anything else, and they pretty much helped me out of this bind. And so I feel obligated as a wrestler to get back to my home promotion first. You know what I'm saying? I've been to a couple of shows since I've been out. I was at a couple of shows this weekend, and I had no intention of wrestling or whatnot. And because I told them I'm gonna get my first match to my home promotion. So, as this is, you know, a thank you to the fans and my fellow wrestlers. So that's why I wanted to do it there.
Awesome. And before we go, any changes to the gimmick now since you've been home?
Any changes to the gimmick? Well, Polo, you just had to see for yourself. Come on out this Saturday. Watch me take on Brian Kane, and what's sure to be another Brian Blaze classic. And you just see for yourself what's going to change about me or the BFD, if you will.
All right. Jonathan, any closing questions for the real deal, Brian Blaze?
No, I think we covered everything, at least wrestling-wise. I'm sure whenever I see you again, Brian, we'll talk about comic books or go to the Claremont Lounge again or something, maybe.
Yeah. That's a possibility.
All right, Brian, we're gonna be in the ring tomorrow. We're going to be in there working out, getting you ready for your match.
Yes, sir. All right, fellas. Y'all have a good one.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right.
Before we go, you had asked, we were about to talk about NWA Atlanta, which kind of ties into next week's guest. We'll be talking to NWA national champion Lou Marconi, who will be part of NWA Atlanta's next event in a couple weeks. Let me see, the date is going to be November 8th, I believe.
Okay.
So that should be interesting.
Should be.
Of course, the NWA World Heavyweight Champion defended his title on Saturday at October Havoc. That was Rob Conway. Defended successfully against Tyson Dean, but it was a pretty good match. I'm trying to think of, well, I guess the shocking thing was what happened with Fry Daddy, because he had vowed to cash his, what is the briefcase called?
Some form of money in the bank.
Yes, Something to the Stars briefcase. Anyway, it's a title shot against any title. He had said he was going to cash it in against Tyson Dean for the Georgia, the NWA Georgia Heavyweight Championship, but he instead cashed it in right after your match, which was to crown, I guess, was this the first NWA?
Yes, first ever junior heavyweight title.
So, Kuntz won the match, unfortunately, against you, and became the first champion. Friday, he came out, looked like he was coming out to congratulate him, but he hit him with the briefcase, cashed it in, and became the second NWA junior heavyweight champion. Second and current and reigning, I should say. So,
congrats to Fry Daddy, new champ.
But yeah, it'd been a while since I'd been to an NWA Atlanta show, and it's the first time I've seen him in Griffin. I enjoyed the show.
That was our first time there.
I enjoyed your match. Andy Anderson defeated Drew Adler to become the new NWA Atlanta heavyweight champion. Blunt Force Trauma became the new tag champions by defeating the Beautiful Bald Besties in a casket match. Overall, it was a fun show. I enjoyed it. So we'll talk more about NWA Atlanta next week, like I said. And Marco, you've done a great job. I appreciate you filling in, but I know you're usually busy Monday nights.
If I'm free, you got me. Just shoot me a holler.
All right. Well, I've had a few people volunteer their services. Some of them just saying they'll fill in until I find someone permanent, and some of them asking about details about becoming the new co-host. So I'll let you know.
Yeah, details on that too. Yeah, let me know what's what. We're back in. Anyway, PCW this Saturday, November 1st, Upgrade Brian Kane versus the returning Brian Blaze. And the Texas Bull Rope match, Jagged Edge versus Bobby Moore. Come on out, be there, be square. And don't forget President Marco. The ladies never say no to President Marco.
Do you have a match scheduled this Saturday?
I'm sure I have something. I don't know what I'll be doing. I'll find out when I get there. So.
All right. And, of course, you can find out about all the other shows coming up this weekend and beyond that at gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot. Check out wrestlingwithpopculture.com, where I've got a lot of stuff coming up, a lot of cool interviews that I've been doing and whatnot. And we'll be back next week. Like I said, our guest will be Lou Marconi. And what I was getting around to announcing was that Nigel Sherrod has volunteered his services for next week as co-host.
Awesome.
Marco, you're welcome. We have done this with three man team before. Johnny Danger Johnny Danger and Joshua Von Wheeler were co-hosts. Matt Hankins and Danny Only. So you're welcome to call in next Monday too if you're not busy training people and whatnot.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'll be on if I'm free. Sounds like
all
fun.
Right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back next Monday.
All right. Goodbye, America.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.